Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we're looking to you to deal with us. It is your pleasure to do so. It is our privilege to participate in the hearing and the understanding. And our God, we're looking to you. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. You might want to turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy and chapter 34. And in the light of the, let me just start back, go back and come forwards. In the light of the, when there's nothing but God, God in his wonderful providence and decided to present the Lord Jesus Christ in a wonderful way. God the Son was going to show God in the person of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Therefore, God threw in the middle of himself planet Earth. And then God surrounded planet Earth with, so our society, astronomy, 2 trillion galaxies at the moment that they guess at. Now, that's a lot. 2 trillion galaxies, not stars. And God did that just like that. Now, God having done that, then what you do? You put man on it. That's us humans made in your image and likeness. And you already had know what Adam's going to do in sin. And you've already made it possible for you to remedy the problem the minute it happens. And he did. Adam sinned, they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they died. But in the process of all of it, God, you're directly contacting face to face with the humans. And Cain comes along, and Abel, and Cain, God, you dealt directly with Cain. And that's why Cain's so guilty, because God told them, don't do what you're going to do. And he went and did it anyway. And so then we come into the days after Cain and all of that, and there's Enoch. There's all kinds of belief on people, but there's not many that are out there. There's Enoch, and he walked with God and talked with God. And then him, there's Noah, and Noah talked with God and walked with God. And then there's Abraham, and Abraham talked and walked with God. They did face to face, just like this. God's invisible, and we shared this morning, you can't, there's no way, he said, you can ever see my face, because I don't have a face like you do. I don't have a special part of me that's head and then toes and feet, and we shared the, I don't want to jump ahead, and I don't have that, I'm just God. And therefore, God, since we can't see you, because we're created and you're who you are, we're in your presence right now. So God, here we are wanting to deal with you with understanding. And in the process, God, you raised up Israel as a nation. And Israel as a nation was to go and bear witness to all of the nations of the world. In Genesis 10, they're spread all over. And you're to, they were to bear witness that God was God. And they met God, remember at Mount Sinai, we mentioned this morning and all of that. And they met God, and they were, and God talked to them. And we read it, Deuteronomy 5:3, face to face, straightway, person to person. in all of his fullness. The face, remember we shared, why face? Because that's the centerpiece of how we identify each other. We don't identify each other by our feet or our toes or our elbow. We identify each other and we look at each other and understand each other and talk to each other. God talked to Moses, not only face to face, but mouth to mouth, straightway. God. So here we are, and Israel was introduced to God at Mount Sinai, and God talked to them in his magnificence, face to face. They just didn't want to hear it. They figured they could never live with this. So they went and backed off. And Moses came in, and they had Moses talk to God, and he did at Mount Sinai, and all of that, the law. And he came in and out with God. That's what he did. He had freedom to be 40 days and 40 nights, etc., before God. And he did. No problem. But Israel was under the law, and they had violated, made a golden calf, etc. Exodus 33 and that, 32. They made a golden calf, and God said, I'm done. I'm going to start all over again with these people. Moses, I'm going to wipe them all out, over 2.5 million. All gone, all going away. Wow. And in the process of that, as you did that, God, what did you do? I said, I'm going to start all over again. And Moses pleaded kind of what the people would say about Israel, about God and Israel. And God knew that, and God listened to his argument, which is right, and God spared him. And God gave grace and glory. Not like in Exodus 20. And we shared in Exodus 34, Moses went up with the plates, and God wrote on them, and Moses came down, and he delivered. And now it's grace. So now when we see Moses, not like coming the first time, when we see Moses, his face glows, it radiates, it shone like beams of light coming from it. It radiates like our Lord at Mount Transfiguration. His face shone as the sun. Wow. Now, so here's Moses, and when Moses talked to the people, his face shone, and when he went before God, the rest of the time, his face was always there, uncovered. But when his face shone, when he came out, and after giving God's word, face uncovered, because he's representing God, and straightway, face. Therefore, when Moses finished, the people said, well, we can't live with you, Moses, unless God gets rid of you, we can't live with you. And so therefore, he covered his face, and he lived like that until he had to bring God's word again, uncovered, till he had to go before God, uncovered, before God. We're in the presence of God now. And all of that took place in a most wonderful, wonderful way, and we shared all of that little bit, all of those things together. And God goes and did that. And God, in the process, we add, didn't mean to leave it out, God, now what did you do? Since they didn't want to talk to you face to face, they didn't want you face to face. They didn't want to go directly to God. They wanted some idol or something to be in the, like Moses, something. We don't want to talk to you, God. And God didn't talk to them. God did something, though, because of his commitment to himself, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, the seed of the woman, Genesis. God made a promise to himself and to the people that he would create. God doesn't break his promises. And so, God, what did you do? Well, in the process, you put the tent, the tabernacle, right smack in the middle of Israel. And that's what they lived with for 40 years and thereafter. Now, and they had that. And in the process of the tabernacle being there, all they ever saw is the tent. The only ones that ever saw inside were the priest and Levite. They could go inside, but no one else ever saw inside. All they saw was the tent. God was right in the middle of them, but they couldn't understand face to face. They didn't want face to face. That's why Moses' mask is covering his face, and the tent is there. And then we proceeded down the corridor of time as we went down in the process, and our Lord Jesus comes along, the Son of David, etc. And our Lord Jesus comes along, having the tent and all of that, tabernacle tent, and he comes along, and moving through history, and you come to what? Well, here's the Lord Jesus, born in Bethlehem of Judea. There he is. And he's just, as we said, you can go over there if you like, over to John in chapter 10. I'm just doing that for the sake of keeping you awake. And that. John chapter 10. And in the process now, the only ones that could go in to the tent, tabernacle, were the priest, etc. Now, and so therefore we go down the corridor of time, and here's John chapter 10, remembering, here's our Lord. Now, how did the Jewish people see, perceive, understand? How did they understand him? Okay. Chapter 10, verse 33, real easy and quick. And Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. And that's what he's going to say all over the place. You have no right to say you're God. All they could do was see the outside. All they do is see the flesh. All they do is see the skin, the tent covering. They didn't want to see God. And God honored it. And they didn't see him. And they didn't talk to him face to face. That was always absent. As you turn the pages, all of God's wonderful movement, but it's absent. Where is the face to face? God didn't disappear. No way. It's just God is going to honor the heart, and the heart chooses not to know, see, or understand God. And God leaves them and gives them up to their own way. And here we are on planet Earth. Find God. Find God. Going to Washington? Go to the valley? Go to the mountain? Go to Israel? Find God. But we can't find God. No, that's right. It isn't that you can't find him. You just can't get to him. And remember when we shared the word in God's holiness, when we shared God is holy, 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 say the seraphim. When you say holy, he isn't distant like people pray God's out there somewhere. No, not distance, difference, holiness, underline, difference. God's different than his creation. He's different. That's our problem. He's God, spiritual, and we aren't yet. Wow. Now, so having said that, here's God, and they did not see him. They saw him. Now, did they understand what was in the tent? God, the Lord Jesus Christ, going up and down, healing and feeding and doing everything? No, they didn't understand that. They didn't. Did they realize, like in the tabernacle, you guys never saw what was in there? You knew what was in there, perhaps, but you never saw it. You never had face to face. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. And here's our Lord, the tent become alive, And here in Christ Jesus, what do we have? We have a wonderful, wonderful thing going on. God in Christ. In the tent. God in the tent. The ark, the mercy seat. And the lampstand. And the altar. And the table of showbread. Where is that? It's in God. In the tent. In Christ. All of those are in the person of Jesus Christ. What was the tabernacle? It was to show all of those all of that equipment, all of those things. Now, hang on, we get it, Lord willing. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so Israel is missing out, no face-to-face with God, and here's the world with no face-to-face with God. And here we are on planet Earth, and here we are now, and we share together, we're going to do it again, picking it up if I can, over in, let me do it a different way. Go with me, please, over to first, for Galatians chapter 1. Galatians in chapter 1. And you would remember, Galatians chapter 1, Paul, the Apostle Paul, comes to know the Lord as a Savior, verse 16, to reveal his Son in me. That's how Paul got saved, 1:16. That's how he got saved. He received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, the same as you and I have to get saved. That's how we get saved. We receive him as our Savior. That's what we do. We receive God as our Savior because of his death on the cross. Now, when Paul did that, what took place instantly? And the believers were a different crowd than they are today, in apostasy mostly at the end of the age here. What did they know? What did they know? All they had is the Old Testament, so you don't want to think they're walking around with the Bible. God was very real. You got to move. He provides everything. The believers all get saved in Lystra, Derbe, wherever it is, and they don't have a Bible. God, boom, 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 and makes it. So that's why everything was so wonderful. God made it happen. It's his ministry, it's his job to make it happen. Now, in Galatians 1:24, Paul said, the testimony, they glorified God in me. Paul, a Pharisee, a killer of Christians, persecutor, and they saw God in me. When you get saved, you see God. God. That's how you get saved. You receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive what? God. God, face to face. Face to face. That's your seat. Hang on. Now, and slide over while you're there in the same thought. Picking up, please. In 2 Corinthians, and in 2 Corinthians in chapter 14, you recall that very nasty statement. Second Corinthians. I said 2 Corinthians, didn't I? Yeah, it's 1 Corinthians. Can't be 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 1 and 14. Remember the, you know it. Pick it up, please, if I can. In verse 23. If therefore the whole church assembly be come together in one place, here we are, and all speak with tongues, languages, different languages. Remember, the church isn't made up of one rank or another. It's every whosoever is saved belongs in the church. That's all. What qualifies you to belong in the body, to receive the Lord as your Savior? Period. All the things are going to be there, and God makes up the. That's a local assembly of believers in a locale, Corinth, Middletown, wherever it is. Now, so here in verse 24. In verse 23, see. And if therefore the whole of the church come together in one place and all speak with tongues, languages, and there come in those that are unlearned and or unbelievers, will they not say they are mad? My, this is a mad place, cuckoo. But, verse 24, if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, and he is unlearned, he is convinced of all and he is judged of all. Now, if you come in. If you're going to just act all over the place, no. You're going to act properly. Verse 25. And thus are the secrets of the heart made manifest, clear, public, plain. So, falling down on his face, he will worship God, and report, give evidence, make an announcement, write in the newspaper, that God is in you of a truth. That's a personal relationship to God. That's face-to-face with God. That's person-to-person. That's heart-to-heart. That's what they'd say back then when you went to church, see the church. The church is about God. It's where God is. Face-to-face in his presence. Nothing between. In your heart, head, or anywhere, because you're honoring God. Hang on. Now, therefore God, here we are looking back over to 2 Corinthians now, where we were. And in 2 Corinthians, if I can, in chapter 4, may I pick it up, please, in thought. And in chapter 4, may I pick up. Remember, the church is made up of whosoever's that believe. They receive the Lord as their Savior in their body, flesh and blood, and God saves them in a most wonderful way. He purchases the body. The body belongs to him, 1 Corinthians 6, 9, 19, 20. It belongs to him. So, saying that, saying John 1, 12 in another way, verse 6 again, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, remember, the whole issue is the heart, the hearts, to give what? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So when you receive the Lord as your Savior, you have a direct contact face to face with God. Straightway. That's the only way you can get saved, is that God walks into your life like that. And the minute he does that, the other part of it, God makes you a new creature in Christ, and God places you in his Son. Places you in his Son. God to God, and you're right in the middle. Face to, it can't get any better. It's the way it is. If it isn't true, then you aren't saved. That's the only way you can get saved. God does a wonderful thing. Now, hang on. God did that. And when you receive him, our Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't, you don't have to turn there, next necessarily. John chapter 8, verse 12, you don't have to turn there. Jesus Christ says he is the light of the what? World. He's the only light. What is in the tabernacle? The lampstand. The lampstand is the light. What light is there in this tent of many coverings? It's pitch black in there if that lampstand isn't lit. He's the light. Now, what else? Well, when we go in the tabernacle, and there's the altar of incense. And God, when you receive the Lord as your Savior, he not only brings light, but he brings a relationship to God that satisfies God. So why does your relationship now, what happened to it? Jesus Christ satisfies God's holy, righteous demands. And you've received him, and remember with all those things, Abraham believed God and what? It was counted to him for righteousness. That's how he gets saved. So when I receive Christ as my Savior, he brings light. He is light. The Lord Jesus Christ brings satisfaction and safety and worship to be able to face to face with God. That's correct, in the person of Jesus Christ. Not only that, dear friends, but here is the, well, I don't want to miss the Holy of Holies. On the other side of the Holy of Holies, what's in there? What's over there? Well, the Ark. The Ark is where the Ten Commandments are. It's the law. Priests could only go in there once a year back then. Once a year at the Day of Atonement. But now here's the Ark, the law. No, you can't get. That's what Exodus chapter 20, Moses, there's no glow on his face. He's representing the law. And there is no relationship. The law demands righteousness, and you don't have any. They didn't have any. So therefore, there's no coming together. The law demands it. The law demands righteousness. Now, having said that, but on top of the ark is always that solid piece of gold, the mercy seat. And that's why we get in. Jesus Christ brings to us grace and truth and mercy and saves us. So that's why. So when I received the Lord as my Savior, and you did, we received the light of God. We received the way to satisfy and enjoy a relationship to God by way of talking, walking, steps, way. The times are in your hands. All of it's going to happen. That's right, because we got one awesome relationship to God as we go down. And God made it possible. So now, having said that, and then we've got over here the table of showbread. And God, what did you say? The Lord Jesus said clearly, while you're here, we'll do it. Oh, no, you got to hold your finger here. You don't have time. John chapter 6 and verse 35, I should say. The Lord Jesus said what? I am the bread of life. So here's the table of showbread. And the word show means faces. Faces. The bread of faces. That's the word. Faces. It's his bread. As I look, whose face is that on the table in that bread? It's his. The bread of faces. I am the bread of life, he said. He said it again, verse 50. I am the bread of life. I am the bread. So when I receive him as my Savior, I receive the whole contents of the tabernacle, which they could never see. But I received him as my Savior. He is the tent. And the tent went to the cross and made it possible for me to receive him. So when I receive him as my Savior, God does the most wonderful thing and saves me. And he is the light. And he is the life. He is the worship. He is the bread. He's the whole ball of wax. That's why when you read, you don't have to type. Well, you aren't far away. Hold your finger right where it is. I hope it's in 2 Corinthians. Go over to 1 Corinthians. And you'll see it. If you want to see 1 Corinthians, if I can, in chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 29. No flesh, 1 and 29, no flesh shall glory in my presence. So you can't argue and debate it and talk about it and wonder about it. Well, I'm going to figure it out. No, you're not. Nope. You're either going to get in that tent and see it, and let it happen, or it doesn't happen. And you can spend 35 years, 40 years studying, going to Tibet or something else somewhere, always people do, going to Rome, go somewhere, find God. You aren't going to find him. You aren't going to get to him. It just isn't going to happen. God had better make it simpler than that, and he did. Whoever you are, or whosoever, whoever you are, wherever you are, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Wherever you are, believe and be saved. Wow. Prison camp, be saved. Think of all the prison camps now in China and that for the taking care of things to keep there, and the rest of lots of other places. I never hear about them. Wow. That's what they do. That's how you get rid of people. That's how you get rid of them. That's why it's so easy. Evolution. Why is that? Because of evolution. Evolution says you're nothing but an overgrown plant. So there's no way that I'm going to kill and be guilty. I don't have a problem because you're just like a plant like me. And weeds always like to go against other weeds, don't they? And weeds like to go against plants. And weeds always are aggressive. Wow. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him, of God, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto you wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Of that, according as it is written, if you're going to go and glory and boast, if you're going to be big, congratulate anyone, congratulate God, honor God, let him glory in the Lord. You're going to have to honor God. Back over to 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. Now, having said that, now go back into what we looked at this morning and that with Moses and the face and the law and God's word, and they didn't want to be face to face. So therefore, you know, chapter 3, picking up at least a little of the context, verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. They just didn't want to see that the law wasn't going to save them. Verse 14. But their minds were blinded. Go look at chapter 4, verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest, why are you doing that to me? Because, lest the light, down to verse 6, the light, the Lord Jesus Christ, lest the light, verse 4, of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So we don't want you to believe. Okay, we'll think about it. Flesh and face to face. It won't mean much to many people. No, it's just going to go right by him. It's not going to go right by. And it doesn't want, because it just doesn't make sense. I can't see God, and God never touches me anything. And so here we are in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse 14 again. Their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Christ fulfilled the law. Mercy and grace, he fulfilled it. That's why you can be face to face, hang on, and walk around with God, by God. Verse 15, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart, and they read the Bible, but they don't see God. They read the Bible and memorize the Bible and quote the Bible, but you don't see God. No. Don't see him. Mm-mm. You don't believe. And our Lord Jesus Christ, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to my Father except by me, period. You go through my door, I am the door. Either go through my door or you don't get in. That's all. I'm the only way. Oh, so narrow. You bet it is. You bet it is. You got to believe. Now, hang on, as you know. Picking up verse 16, nevertheless, when it shall, the heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. So when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't need the veil. The veil's gone from the Bible. The veil's gone from you. So when you read the Bible, instead of being a veil over it, you read the Bible straightway. And it's about you and about God. Face, I'm looking at the Bible, face to face. That's what I do. There's nothing between what you're reading and the God who said it in your heart. Nothing between. That's awesome. Hang on to that. Now, either you, if you don't believe, it'll never happen. It'll never happen. It just won't happen. You got to believe. You got to look to God. And if you don't look to God, it ain't going to happen. Now, I could illustrate it, but I can't. I'll try to illustrate. We did it the other day for you. Can you hear all right? Now, God, what do you want? You want us to believe. Now, if I fall down, catch me. Now, how much weight am I putting on the chair? Am I trusting anything but the chair? I'm trusting the chair 1,000%. That's what it means to believe. I'm trusting God plus nothing plus nobody. Oh, I trust God. I trust God. I trust God. And you're sincere, absolutely sincere. I believe, I believe. But you don't believe. You're counting on you. You're counting on you. Now that's that group of people. And then there's the group of people that are, say they're believers that do this. I believe. I believe. But they don't do anything. Therefore, chapter 3, picking up, please, verse 17. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and wonderful freedom. The truth will set you free. Verse 18. What makes you free, dear friends, believers? But we all, with what kind of face? Covered or open? We all with open face, uncovered. We all with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord. And we're looking straightway, like I look in the Bible. I don't have a veil over the Bible. I'm going to take it for what it is. Let it be what it is. I want it to be what it is. Say what it says. God, and I want God to make it in me, in you, in the Bible, face to face, now. And therefore, not only that, dear friends, but in verse 18, as we look at God and look to the Word of God, as we look, God is going to change us because we're looking open face. You can't go and have something on your face, make believe. You don't want to go in front of the mirror in your privacy or whatever. You don't want to go in the front of the mirror and have a big mask on, like my tissue, a big mask on. Would you want to go in the mirror like that? Why don't you want to go in the mirror like that? Because you can't see. How are you going to brush your teeth? You can't even see if your teeth are clean, if they're dirty. Because you got a mask on. You got to put your mask down. And you got to have an open face. What does it say in verse 18? That's looking in the mirror with nothing. Open face. So you can see. What does James 1:25 say? we look into the perfect law of liberty that sets us free. That's the Bible. The liberty, we just read it, verse 17. So therefore, 18 again, we all with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God, of the Lord. So God's doing a wonderful thing. I keep looking and face to face. And I keep working, God's working, 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 working. And I'm changing. You're changing. But if you got a veil on, don't tell me you're changing. No, you're not. You aren't interested in change. You don't mind hearing and reading the Bible, but you don't want to get too serious in it, do you? Because who knows if it's true? God knows it's true. Reality knows it's true. History knows it's true. Do you understand? You want to talk about any subject you want to talk about. Astrology, genealogy, whatever you want to talk about. So it's all going to come back. Man, is that science, that fact, that study, well, blows your mind away, doesn't it? That's God. So why would I say it isn't true? That's a stupid thing. That's the present mood educationally in that. To give you raise up a whole crowds of people that don't believe. A terrible thing in the educational world. Back in, is it 1016? What's that thing out there? Now, for the schools, put out by the Antiqua, whatever it is. School, they don't believe. They don't believe. American way is bad. Being taught in schools. And they're fighting it by the 70. By the other program, 1776, I guess, the president's trying to fight it, and the hope of the schools are going to do it. Oh man, terrible, 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 terrible. But we aren't supposed to be trusting the school. We aren't trusting the college. We aren't trusting our education. And we aren't going to get saved by anyone, anywhere, including our friends and enemies and everything. The only way you're going to get saved is by God. And what happens? God makes you able to have a unique, wonderful relationship face to face. How can you beat it? It's for sure. But you got to understand, you got to believe. So I'd believe. Well, you better believe with your heart. And if you can't put your whole weight in it, you aren't believing. Don't tell me you're believing. I've been believing, and for 20 years you've been telling me, not you guys, long time. I said, well, if you've been believing, what on earth is wrong? How can you sit so long and say you're believing and you never grow? It never gets to you. I can't figure out why that is. Why is that? Well, because we're caught up in the world system, and God has to help us. So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over, if you would, to 1 Peter, and chapter 3 for a moment. Now, that's just a limited review of this morning. So, I needed to have that. I just wouldn't want to trust you got this morning. I just wanted to drive it home. You don't have it. I'm telling you. It's what it's all about. That's why David can walk with God and have his steps and his way and his times. That's why God can do it. What did I say? 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter and in chapter 3. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? So we're walking in his steps, in his way, in his time, God's time, down the corridor of time, school, work, home, whatever we're doing. Verse 14. And, but if you suffer for righteousness' sake, be happy, be happy, be happy, underline, be happy, happy are ye, And be not afraid. Don't be afraid. That's the whole issue now is fear. Fear. You got to have fear. That you got it. And boy, I keep hearing it. People showing up. They got fear. And I don't. You probably find it more than I do out there. I don't travel like you do. You hear it. People afraid. We're going to watch this. And someone said that. And over this. And over that. All kinds. Afraid. And we get division. Division, not only in the country, not only in the world, in countries, in groups, Islam, Catholic, Protestant, us, division. Why? Because what did it? A stupid things. And the devil knows that. And I told you, if people get to God, I never hear God. I still don't hear people getting to God. The government needs to get to God. Mayor, governor, tell the governor to get to God. You want to fix something if you're really afraid, or are you having other reasons to keep it going? Other reasons. Now, in verse 15, what are we going to do then? Don't be afraid, don't be troubled, verse 14, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And be ready always to give an answer to every man. All they see is you, your physical body. They can't see inside your life. They can't see God. They can't see the light and the life and the relationship and the face-to-face business. They can't see it. They couldn't see it in our Lord. And they aren't going to see it in his body. Unless they're seeking. If you seek me with what? All your heart, what will you do? You'll find me. Seek me. But I don't want to seek you. Then you won't find me. And they don't. They don't. They try some other systems, some other solutions. Now, so here in verse 15, sanctify the Lord God and give a reason for the hope that is within you. And if you're walking with God, then they're going to want to know. If they're going to ask, inquire, they're going to want to know what makes the difference, and then you can tell them. You can tell them. And in the process, remember now that the believer, the priest had access. All of the people of Israel had no access to see what was in that tent. But the priest did. Now God, here we are in the tent. We are the tent. We are the temple. That's who he is. Wow. And are we distinguished? Absolutely. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. Verse 9. 1 Peter 2, 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal, underlined in your mind, priesthood. And we have access directly to God face to face. You are a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar, special, prized, privileged people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we walk in the light. We don't have a covering. No, we don't. Now, having said that, here we are, face to face, looking to God. We ought to understand that. And as we look to God and understand it in this world, and we want to go, and that's our testimony. You want to know what your testimony is? It isn't when you hand out the tract or something. No. Your testimony is you. You. You're the tent, and you carry all of the wonderful equipment, the lampstand, the bread, the altar, you carry it in the person of Jesus Christ. So you bring to them the tent, your tent, the body you lived in. And as you go, you're letting people know, that want to know why you're different, why you're saved, and you are saved. And you don't do like they do. You don't have their fear. You don't have their frustration. Once we start doing that, we're joining them. We don't have that. We don't want that. God doesn't want that. Now, so therefore, God, here we are going, and our testimony is to be lights shining in the darkness in a most wonderful way. Over to Philippians in closing. Philippians and chapter 2. We didn't get very far, but I hope you got a little bit to remind you of the morning so that you walk onto it. It's a wonderful thing. When you lay in bed tonight, if you're saved, there you are, God and you. There you are. And you get out of bed, it's God and you. And you brush your teeth, and you, God and you. That's what you do. And you deal with all kinds of dumb things and good things, bad things, and it's God and you. And you do it, and that's how you grow, that's how you learn, except we're going to deal with that. Now, Philippians and chapter 2, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 14. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. So if you're thinking the whole thing around you is evil, darkness, as we've been sharing, among the crooked and perverse generation, evil and darkness, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're children of light. We walk as children of light. That's what we're doing. We aren't walking in the dark. And, verse 12, the end, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that's what we're doing. We aren't trying to work out anyone else. We're just trying to get our walk in his steps, in his way, in his will. And God's outworking his wonderful thing. We're being changed as we look face to face to God and to his word. We're looking without any covering now. And therefore, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And God's going to do what he wants. That's what you want, isn't it? That's what you want to get down. So here we are going. So we're going to go and accommodate God. We accommodate within reason the people. We understand face to face. I hope you do a little bit. And practice it. Now, but in practicing it, you don't want to hang on to that. In practicing it, you have to be careful because our present setting, our present world system we're living in is caught up. It wasn't a year ago, a few months ago. It is now. It's caught up in it. And it's very fearsome and disruptive, etc. So you don't want to think that it's not very good. So here we are going, and we got to accommodate within reason. And sometime beyond reason, as we are, the things are reasonable and things are unreasonable. That stupid system says unreasonable things, no question, that are beyond reason. But as you do that, when and as you do that, you have to understand everyone is different based on all kinds of different position, understanding. Remember what I just did with the chair? There are all kinds of ways. People are on the chair, they're off the chair, they're up, they're down, they don't even know about the chair. Believers, these are believers. And they can't do what I may be able to do, maybe. I can do it, but I don't expect them to do it. They should be able to do it. I'm trying to help them get there to do it, but they haven't done it. They've never done it. They need to do it. I'm trying to tell them to get there. That's all I can do. And they're all different. So you have to allow different health things, all kinds of factors, family relationships, everything is going on in the brains of people. These are believers we're looking at, professing believers. And the unsaved world we're looking at. And they're all out there, and they're doing. So you've got to give each one a little space. But in the process, you don't get caught up in the mood and the movement of what's happening in society. You avoid that like the plague. You avoid it like the virus. You avoid it. You don't want to lose it, because then what? you're going to lose what? The enjoyment of what we're trying to get exercise face to face with God's Word, God's presence, and you're relaxing. It doesn't matter whether they want you to wear a mask on top of your head or in your ears. Pretty soon, who knows what they'll do? Okay? That isn't the issue. Don't lose your joy, your freedom, your relationship to God over this dumb mask or anything else. But you may need to do it sometime in order to accommodate the world you live in. And your health conditions, people have different kinds of things, and you have to honor them within reason. The doctor told me a long time ago, when I had my little heart thing and that kind of stuff, and he told me, when I went, they gave me one. I never had a doctor like that. And the doctor told me, he said, now, you either do what I say or I'm not going to treat you. And he was very stern. I said, I didn't say that, but I thought it. I said, boy, are you a stern doctor. Are you going to really be like mean like that? You know? Now, after time has gone on, he's been nicer to me. But you understand? He said it. God said, listen, God, I don't want to get caught up in the dumb thing. I don't care. If you want me to wear a mask over my eyes, etc., I'll do it. Whatever is the person's, all people are different, all have different needs, different attitudes, even here. So we're trying to adjust. We're working on it. We're going to have a message coming up. I'm going to put it all together for you. But I got to get the questions and do everything, and we're going to lay it out of what is the future and where are we going to go and how far can we go. And you need to have these, I'm saying, probably say the same things to you. So here we are going, and God, don't lose the relationship to God, and relax. Whatever you have to do, you do it within reason. And depending on your makeup and your background and your understanding and the system, wherever you're doing, the doctor's office, they're going to tell you to do this, and you do it. That's what you do. And you honor it. But don't lose the enjoyment and the liberty and the life that you have with God. God, we don't need a dumb mask, and we don't need anything. I had a flu shot, but I don't need a flu shot. Do it. We don't need them. It doesn't mean you don't do them. It doesn't mean you don't care. But you do it with an understanding. Always you're trusting God. Not the medicine, not the pill, not the relationships. You're trusting God. Period. Don't lose that. Face to face. And then we're locked up this way. And what happened to God? What happened? And they'll pray. I know I have it sometimes, so do you. They say, would you pray for us? Would you get to God for us? And I'll hear it pretty soon, another week, a couple of days. You got to talk to God. We can't talk to God. Wouldn't it be good if they could talk to God? You can talk to God. And that's what you ought to do. No. Now I went over again. I'm going to owe you so many minutes. Next service will be minus 20 minutes. We'll stop and pray. You got a little bit? I hope. It isn't hard. It's just we get caught up in the... It's our makeup. You get caught up in it. In our caring and our coming and our going and our fears and our faults, and someone said this and someone said that. And oh my. But God saved us from every somebody, and God saved you from every something. How's that? God saved you from every somebody. God saved you from every something. Therefore, our Father and God, we thank you for thy word and work and thy saving grace, in Christ's name, Amen.